The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
I'm very happy to announce that Edan Alexander, an American citizen who until recently most thought was no longer living, thought was dead, is going to be released in about 2 hours, actually. And he's going to be released before the eyes of Steve Witkoff, who has done a fantastic job. I know a lot of people that have a lot of talent. I know Steve, he had a lot of talent. But I know a lot of people with a lot of talent, but there's one that I thought had a special way about him, special personality, aside from being a good deal maker, had a special way about him, and it was Steve. Knew very little about the subject matter, who does? But he learned it in about 2 hours, and he's been fantastic. So I want to just thank Steve. So now I'm about to depart on a historic visit. Some of you are going with us to, as I said, Saudi Arabia, Qatar, and United Arab Emirates.
On Qatar, has Qatar asked for anything in exchange for that $400 million luxury jumbo jet? And how can the American people be so sure that they will not in the future?
Well, I think what happens with the plane is that, you know, we're very disappointed that it's taking Boeing so long to build a new Air Force One. You know, we have an Air Force One that's 40 years old. And I think Qatar, who has really, we've helped them a lot over the years in terms of security and safety. I think very, very nicely, and I have a lot of respect for the leadership and for the leader, Qatar. And I think they knew about it because they buy Boeings. They buy a lot of Boeings. And they knew about it. And they said, we would like to do something. And if we can get a 747 as a contribution to our Defense Department to use during a couple of years while they're building the other ones. I think that was a very nice gesture. Now, I could be a stupid person and say, oh, no, we don't want a free plane. We give free things out. We'll take one, too. And it helps us out. I thought it was a great gesture. And I think it was a gesture because of the fact that we have helped and continue to. We will continue to. All of those countries, Saudi Arabia, UAE, Qatar, and others, we keep them safe. If it wasn't for us, they probably wouldn't exist right now. And I think this was just a gesture of good faith.
Well, I think it's important to recognize that everybody may want something. I think in the case of the Qataris, they're criticized for not being well motivated. It's preposterous. They are well motivated. They're good, decent people. What they want is a mediation that's effective, that gets to a peace goal. And why? Because they're a small nation and they want to be acknowledged as a peacemaker. And I think the president realizes that. And I realize that today.
Another whirlwind of activity to start off this week with. That in particular, I mean, that last clip there is an older one about, as we've written in the Trumpet, just illustrating the faith that the Trump administration has in this case, Qatar, that houses Hamas, Muslim Brotherhood as well. Lots to get to on today's show. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us yet again. You can get to the live video stream of this show at trumpetdaily.com or at the Rumble channel. Just go to rumble.com/Trumpet Daily. Got a little extra sun yesterday outside at our speech banquet. So hopefully that will tone down over the next few days. I think we're going to try to carve out space for part three of that program my father gave back in 1993 on Germany in prophecy. But just to highlight the whirlwind of activity, I think that this was play number 9, and it just rattles off again. You watch President Trump's press conference, and it's riveting. It makes for great TV. There's definitely a lot happening, but is all of it good? you listen to his supporters and, you know, you would think everything's a home run. Play clip nine.
There's almost too many headlines to deal with at this point, right?
There really are.
President Trump is set to take his first trip to the Middle East during his second term. The president is set to visit with leaders from Saudi Arabia, Qatar, and the United Arab Emirates starting Tuesday, as the U.S. held another round of nuclear negotiations today with Iran.
As I mentioned, there's some other negotiations going on today. Trump's special envoy, Steve Witkoff, is in neighboring Oman, meeting with Iranian officials over its nuclear program. Both sides touted progress and said they will meet again. They've already met four times. Now some good news, Tom. Hamas said late today would release the last living American hostage held in Gaza, 21-year-old Idan Alexander from New Jersey, who served in the Israeli military. Israel says there will be no ceasefire during the exchange, and Hamas said that release is scheduled for Tuesday. And, of course, that's the same day President Trump arrives here in Saudi Arabia. So some good news here from the region, Tom.
China isn't the only adversary making news today. Russian President Vladimir Putin is proposing direct peace talks with Ukraine this week in Turkey to try to end the 3+ years of fighting. President Trump posted today on Truth Social, urging Ukraine to agree to this meeting immediately to end the bloodbath, seemingly backing off his demands for a 30-day ceasefire before talks could start.
But there's another headline here. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky says he's ready to meet personally with Vladimir Putin. That's a whole other part of this. And this might be the most challenging part of the diplomacy that's going on right now, where we're seeing some successes potentially in Israel with the potential release of this final American that they're still holding. And in China, we're seeing the economic success. But the Ukraine and Russia challenge seems to still be one of the toughest ones.
The ambassadors for peace, I mean, they're out there in full swing. And I think it was at his press conference this morning where President Trump said that the world is safer today than it was last week. It's safer today than it was 6 months ago. But do we know the way to peace, this latest trumpet? Will Trump's peace plans fly? Are they going to work? This story about the $400 million flying palace that Qatar is gifting to, as you heard there in the cold open, our Defense Department. I mean, leave aside that it's a pretty big gift to the Trump people. And MAGA, I guess MAGA's totally fine with this, but just imagine if this gift was going to Hunter Biden or the Biden family, and then they got to keep it after his presidency ended. It looks pretty dodgy. But just what about from a security standpoint? I mean, Qatar is where Hamas is headquartered. Qatar is the nation funding so much of this anti-Semitism that you see on university campuses today. And you listen to President Trump, you listen to Witkoff, and they talk about the Qatari leaders as if they're saints. In what may be the most valuable gift ever extended to the United States from a foreign government, the Trump administration is preparing to accept a super luxury Boeing jumbo jet from the royal family of Qatar, a gift that is to be available for use by President Trump as the new Air Force One until shortly before he leaves office, at which time ownership of the plane will be transferred to the Trump Presidential Library. So nothing to see here. And he got into it with an ABC reporter this morning and basically said we'd be stupid not to take this. It's a gift. Laura Loomer, she comes from the conservative right. I love President Trump. I would take a bullet for him, but I have to call a spade a spade. We cannot accept a $400 million gift from jihadists in suits. These are jihadists. That's the truth. And they dress up and they look presentable and they've obviously earned a lot of respect from Witkoff. But how is this not pay to play? They want something in return, obviously. And they're receiving a lot of goodwill. Jihadists in suits. That's what it amounts to. Mark Levin, the commentator. Qatar must stop buying our colleges and universities and spreading their anti-Americanism. They've got to stop with this propaganda. They've got to stop with funding Al Jazeera and all these terrorist organizations. Just in 2017, President Trump himself, he called Qatar a funder of terrorism with a radical ideology. That was just 8 years ago. What happened? Well, since that time, look at October 7. Look at the Houthis. Look at all of these proxy wars that have been going on. And right there in Israel's, you know, neighborhood, and the Trump administration makes this trip to the Middle East this week and skips Israel. It's hard to believe what's happening here. And then all the talk that we're going to have peace and the release of one hostage. And there's still 20-some hostages in captivity. The fact that I think the hostage is going to go through Qatar. So Qatar's made to look like the peace negotiator here. They're working both sides. And then giving the Trump people a $400 million gift. It says here, look no further than the latest gift from the Qatari government, which Trump is reportedly set to accept this week. This luxury jumbo jet, palace in the sky. Further on, it says, just consider the plain matter of our national security. I mean, forget about the gift for a moment or pay to play. But what about national security? Who's going to look at this plane through and through to make sure it's secure? It's going to the Defense Department. A plane handed to the president by a foreign government, let alone a government that hosts the leaders of Hamas, cooperates with Iran, fuels popular anti-Semitism throughout the Arab world through its government mouthpiece, Al Jazeera, and has poured nearly more than $2 billion into American universities since 2021. As these campuses express solidarity with Palestinian terrorism, they're fueling a lot of the hatred of Jews. As I say, what must Israel think of these moves, of what's happening, of how we're reaching out to Qatar, of all places? It says here, last month, Eric Trump flew to Qatar's capital, Doha, to ink a new deal on a luxury golf resort. And then last month, the Trump family business announced plans to build a new 80-story Trump hotel. I mean, it's all about the deals. And heads would have been exploding, as I say, a few years ago, had this been the Biden crime family. As it is, I guess everything boils down to money and gifts. And deals. We've got a deal with China. It's in place. Good things are happening. Well, it is a whirlwind of activity. And the president, his staff, they're excited about the deal with China. But then you listen to him this morning. And again, it's a lot of it's true what he says about the EU. But he's making a lot of enemies. And we've made the point before just how much hatred and contempt there is for the United States in Europe. Listen to what the president said this morning, clip 14.
The European Union has been brutal. And the drug companies actually told me, sirs, it was just brutal how they forced them. And European Union suing all our companies, Apple, Google, Meta, they're suing all of our companies. They end up, they have judges that are European Union centric, and they get rewarded $15 billion, $17 billion, $20 billion, and they use that to run their operation. Not going to happen any longer, that I can tell you. This means American patients were effectively subsidizing socialist healthcare systems in Germany, in all parts of the European Union. They were the toughest of all. They were nasty. And I see that. I see that with trade, too. European Union is in many ways nastier than China. Okay? And we've just started with them. Oh, they'll come down a lot. You watch. We have all the cards. They treated us very unfairly.
We have all the cards. Well, think about what the Bible prophesies about that mart of nations. And then wait until all these other deals are made between other nations. But the EU's nastier than China, he just said. So how does that set with the elites in Europe? They are working behind the scene. They are hard at work. I mean, we've made the point, too, about Merz and just how fragile that German government is and that they want their own strong man, and they're going to get one. They've got to get someone who will stand up to Donald Trump. That's what the world's begging for. The world is pleading for this. You do applaud President for taking on Big Pharma, for blowing that up, and he's got Bobby Kennedy and all these guys behind him, TV personalities, former Democrats. And they're saying, finally, why is it the American consumer just keeps getting ripped off? It's going to stop. He's taking it head on, and Bobby Kennedy, he's calling out Bernie Sanders. He's saying, you used to campaign on this, and now it's happening. And so the conference goes on for well over an hour. As I say, it makes for great television. But then you come up to the foreign policy, the peace deals, the constant talk of negotiations, sitting down with anybody, including the mullahs. This jumbo jet. It says, also in April, Donald Trump Jr. announced he was opening a private club in Georgetown alongside Alex and Zach Witkoff, sons of Trump's special envoy to the Middle East and Russia, and Omid Malik, who runs 1789 Capital, an investment firm that recently brought on Donald Trump Jr. as a partner. Lots of deals to be made. There's lots of business in Qatar and elsewhere. And if it helps the bottom line, hey, sit down with the jihadist in suits. Just sit down with them and say they're reasonable people and that they just want peace. They've been fueling propaganda, anti-Semitism, hatred for Jews. And they distribute that proudly. And as I say, in 2017, the Donald Trump then called them out. He called them out for it, said that they were funding a radical ideology, funding terrorism. And that's what Iran does. Same thing. But don't you worry, there's deals. There are deals to be made. That's what we're told. It says this is precisely the kind of self-dealing in the executive branch that Congress is supposed to check and balance according to our Constitution. One exception has been, well, further on. It says Qatar is not a neutral party on the world stage. It has a deeply troubling history of financing a barbaric terrorist organization that has the blood of Americans on its hands. In the cruelest irony, Air Force One will have something in common with Hamas, paid for by Qatar. That's brutal. How could this happen, though? How could this be happening? How could we on this program side with the ABC reporter this morning? Trump says, you're fake news. It's one of his more popular lines. But even from a national security standpoint, this article's spot on. What was this? The Free Press editors is shocking, really. It's shocking. And then you've got the American hostage. This is from a tweet, so I didn't get a chance to look into the accuracy of this, but it says the family of Edan Alexander has allegedly confirmed that he will fly to Qatar after his release to meet with Trump. So they're going to meet up tomorrow or today, whenever the president gets there. Qatar financed and greenlit the October 7 massacre and taking him hostage. And now they want to parade him around as if they're heroes. It's disgusting. Now they want to parade him around like, well, hey, we helped release a hostage. Just one. But we've been working really closely with Witkoff and with the Trump team. And then you have all of this radical ideology spreading around our own country, America, on the college campuses. Listen to Doug Murray as he talks about how it shouldn't even be a question of choosing between Hamas and, well, the other side, whether it's the Israelis. Listen to clip 5.
Hamas ruled Gaza for 18 years, and after 18 years of firing rockets at their neighbors, which, of course, the pro-Hamas type thing, oh, you know, it's irresistible. How could we not fire rockets at our neighbors? Yet so many people do avoid firing rockets at their neighbors, don't they? But nevertheless, after 18 years, they invade Israel with thousands and thousands of terrorists going and raping and beheading and killing innocent civilians across the south of Israel. My book is an attempt to explain, first of all, what happened on October the 7th, because a lot of people still don't know. Secondly, a first-hand account of Israel's response, the military response of the IDF. But the third thing that the book is about is this crucial question I keep having. It came up a bit on the Rogan thing. It's come up a lot when I've been on campuses and elsewhere, which is, why are there so many people here in America who, in a choice between a democracy like Israel and a death cult like Hamas, decide that it's either difficult to choose or decide to throw their lot in with the death cult?
It shouldn't be a difficult choice. But it is. For more and more of the very well-educated in our own nation, this trip, he's going to Qatar, he's going to UAE, and then Saudi Arabia. Axios has this to say: the Qataris are also expected to announce $200 to $300 billion in deals and investments, including a huge commercial aircraft deal with Boeing and a $2 billion deal to purchase Reaper drones, a source is quoted as saying. It says Trump clearly sees the Gulf as a place where there's big money to be made for the U.S. and for businesses like his. This is from the Jerusalem Post, how Trump's essentially going out of his way to not meet with Bibi Netanyahu. Says where he's scheduled to go. It says further on, the Crown Prince is sending a message. The Palestinian Authority cannot be bypassed despite Israel's attempts to do so. Well, further on, it says that message is taking form and the White House has not objected, nor the ignoring Israel, that message, nor was it expected to. Trump appears untroubled by the development, and that precisely is Netanyahu's problem. The facts are clear. Trump will meet a boss during this regional tour, but not Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. Meets with a boss, meets with the jihadists in suits, sits down with Putin, sits down with the mullahs. Witkoff's traveling the world, arranging all those meetings, striking deals with China, and then saying, you know what, it's Europe. Europe's nasty. How much longer before that catches up with the United States? I mean, it's sobering to just look at the whirlwind of activity. This article says, Trump sidelining reduces Israel's relevance in the region. Israel's regional position has deteriorated. Unlike before October 7, 2023, normalization with Israel now requires tangible returns, not vague or symbolic gestures. Even slogans are beyond Netanyahu's capacity in 2025. It says, in this shifting landscape, Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman faces image challenges. He's under growing criticism, even without actively pursuing normalization with Israel. Earlier remarks continue to draw scrutiny, and current events in Gaza, viewed by many in the Arab world as genocidal, only increase the pressure. He must demonstrate solidarity with the Arab cause, not just economic alignment with Washington. I mean, his thinking, his ideology matters. But if everything is just reduced to a negotiation, a deal, real estate, or whatever, free gifts, I mean, what is going on? And how furious would conservative media be if they were watching this play out, as I say, from the Biden crime family? Because that's exactly what was happening. All the money laundering being sent to the Biden accounts, 8 or 9 of them, they were paying for favors. And in a larger, in a much larger perspective, that's what Qatar's doing. And evidently they're getting away with it, and it's no problem now. Pay to play. If you want to play with the United States, then you're going to have to be willing to pay. Because the United States has been getting ripped off for decades. And again, President Trump is right about that. But it's not going to solve the problem with human nature or the underlying hatred or resentment aimed at the United States. If anything, it's just accelerating that. Witkoff exposes major flaw in the Donald Trump peace deals. That was at the Trumpet magazine, if you don't have a copy. Well, here's, I think I have time to play a couple more clips. This is from the exiled crown prince of Iran talking about whether or not you can trust what the Iranian leaders are saying. The jihadists in suits. This is clip 10.
As you know, we had a very good outcome with the Houthis, and we honor their word. I mean, they made a commitment, and we dealt with other countries that were close to them and their surrogates, and we honor all of their words, and we'll see what happens. I believe that hopefully that's over with, and they'll leave the ships alone.
Give us your take on that, what you just heard, that the fighting with the Houthis is over. Should we believe that? And what about a potential deal with this current regime in Iran?
The past 40 years has demonstrated to everyone that has followed Iran that the demeanor and the pattern of behavior of this regime has remained consistent only in one way, and that is to continue fomenting regional instability and conflict as a means of its own survival by financing its proxies and utilizing them as an instrument of pressure or intimidation across the world. The Houthis are just one example of that. The majority of the funding came from Iran, the training, the weapons. So, you know, it's not that they say we're going to quit the fight. Who is to say they're not going to start it again once Iran will start funding them again? Because this is what the regime is most likely to do. Khamenei said that this is a temporary setback, and he was forced into accepting the climate of indirect talks only to buy some time to the regime. They have done that before. So nothing leads us to believe that this time they have a complete change of behavior or attitude. And that's something that we should not fall into the trappings that this regime has set, not just to the current administration, but to previous administrations, and has always taken advantage of that in order to prolong its own survival.
You have to look at the fruits, in other words. Okay, they say this, but what are they doing? Who are they funding? Why are they funding? Why are they helping to mastermind some of these things like October 7? And what are you... President Trump, unbelievably, said there, we honor their words. What? We honor their word. And then at the same time, now those Europeans, they're nasty. But these terrorists, these state sponsors of terrorism, we honor their words. What must what must Bibi Netanyahu be thinking at the moment? What a difference. Considering how pro-Israel the Trump administration was. We had an article, I'm talking about the first term, we had an article earlier this year about America's betrayal of Israel. There's another one. The fatal flaw in Donald Trump's foreign policy. If you're not a Trumpet subscriber, you get fair, objective analysis, for sure. All of it based on the sure word of Bible prophecy. There's no cost, no obligation. Make sure you call our operators. You see the 800 number there, 1-866-930-3024. And you can subscribe to the Trumpet magazine. We'll take a short break. And hopefully I've allowed for enough time to play that third part in the series my father did many, many years ago on Germany in prophecy. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We'll be right back.
German officials recently said they have seriously underestimated the Nazi movement in Germany. Many people are deeply concerned. Germany's intelligence service has admitted it can no longer stem the Nazi violence. The German government has been very slow to condemn it, and the police almost always arrive after the violent acts have been committed and the Nazis have just disappeared. How much sympathy do the Nazis have in the German government? The answer to that question might be the most shocking one of all. Do we understand what is happening in Germany today?
The Philadelphia Church of God presents The Key of David. The Key of David unlocks all Bible prophecy of the past, present, and the beautiful world to come. Ladies and gentlemen, Gerald R. Fleury.
We must remember that Nazism is not dead. The Germans did not denazify themselves, as we pointed out in our last program. They made virtually no attempt to do so. In addition to the militant Nazis, the right-wing parties in Germany have about 40,000 members. There are about 4,200 skinheads in Germany. These right-wingers committed 1,300 attacks on foreigners in 1991. In 1992, though, they committed 2,100 attacks in which 17 people were killed. But what worries some German officials most of all is not the 3,400 attacks over the past 2 years or even the 40,000 Nazis. The biggest worry is that much of the population sympathizes with the Nazis. Let me quote to you from the New York Times. Who is really to blame for the war in Yugoslavia? We might ask that question today since there is such a violent war there. And how did that all begin? Since we're going through a series on Germany, I thought you needed to hear a quote from this article. Here's what the New York Times printed on December the 15th, 1991. The front page article was titled Germany Adamant It Will Recognize Yugoslav States. Germany Adamant It Will Recognize Yugoslav States. Quote, Germany will go ahead with its plans to extend diplomatic recognition to the breakaway Yugoslav republics of Slovenia and Croatia. German officials said today, increasing prospects for a pronounced rift on the issue of the Western Alliance. In other words, they're willing to even break up the Western Alliance to support Croatia and Slovenia in their breakaway from Yugoslavia. The article continues. Chancellor Helmut Kohl's spokesman, Dieter Vogel, said on Friday that the Bonn government would wait until after a meeting of European Community foreign ministers in Brussels on Monday before announcing recognition, which has been opposed by the United Nations, the United States, and by the European community. Now, mind you, this article says this move has been opposed by the United Nations, the United States, and by the European community, and yet Germany just plowed on ahead. Almost the whole world opposed them. Now, when you think about Germany's recent past, I think that should concern all of us, and also in light of Bible prophecy, we need to be concerned about this. Let me quote from another article in the New York Times on December 16, 1991. It was titled, UN Yields to Plans by Germany to Recognize Yugoslav Republics. Quote, the Security Council backed off a confrontation with Germany over Yugoslavia today. This is the Security Council of the United Nations. But they backed off a confrontation with Germany over Yugoslavia today after Germany's European allies on the Council decided that they did not want a major clash with Bonn or Germany. Now, is Germany back in power? Would you say that's an indication of their great political power today? This article continues, the incident underscored Germany's growing political power within the 12-nation European community, diplomats said. Indeed, it does. Some added that it marked the single most visible demonstration of that power since reunification of the two Germanies more than a year ago. Moreover, in its unusual assertiveness in Germany here, in moving ahead with a plan to extend diplomatic recognition to the breakaway Yugoslav republics of Croatia and Slovenia, Germany has stirred troubling historical associations. Now, what does this newspaper mean by that? Germany has stirred troubling historical associations. Well, all you have to do is think back to World War II and even further back into their history to know what they're talking about here. But this article says Germany has stirred troubling historical associations. Nazi Germany dominated the two Yugoslav regions during World War II. Nazi Germany dominated those two regions in World War II, that is Slovenia and Croatia. Now, we need to think about this very seriously. Germany certainly is. But they, in World War II, it says, this, the article says, they absorbed Slovenia into the Third Reich and creating a puppet regime in Croatia. Now, Slovenia and Croatia were a part of Hitler's Third Reich. That's what this article is saying. Now, let me quote from the New York Times one more time, a December 8, 1991 article. Entitled, The United States is at Odds with Germany Backing for Slovenia and Croatia. The United States was against their recognizing these two republics. And here's what they had to say about it. Germany has long historical ties, yes indeed, long historical ties, both glorious and shameful. Yes, I would say, if we look back even in recent history, it certainly was shameful, the history they had with these two republics. But this history is glorious and shameful to Slovenia and Croatia. Slovenia was part of the Austro-Hungarian Empire, which was the old Holy Roman Empire that is mentioned quite often in the book of Revelation of your Bible. But the old Austro-Hungarian Empire and many people there still identify with the German-speaking world. There has been German influence in Croatia, and during World War II, Croatia was ruled by a pro-Nazi regime. This aspect of Croatian history and the fact that, please get this, the fact that the Tudjman government, that is in Croatia, has refused to disassociate itself from the Croatian fascists who ruled the Republic in the 1940s, has made European leaders unwilling to move quickly toward recognition. Now, Germany began to put the pressure on, and they very quickly went along with Germany to recognize them. But here is the government in Croatia right now, won't disassociate itself from these Croatian fascists of the Third Reich in World War II. Now, I would think that's something that should concern a lot of people. It certainly does concern me. This article concludes, German public opinion is strongly pro-Croatian and anti-Serbian. End of quotation. Now, German public opinion is very much supporting what their leaders are doing. I think most Americans haven't even really been that much aware of these two republics until just recently. But imagine a Croatian leader today who will not disassociate himself with that Nazi past, and Germany insists that this country, this republic, be recognized as they break away from Yugoslavia. Some very emotional history there indeed, and something that should be alarming to all of us. Also, of course, the Vatican came along very quickly and recognized Croatia after Germany did. But I wonder if we have forgotten about what happened in World War II and forgotten about much of this history of Germany's past. Here, Germany today will virtually stand up to the whole Western world, the United Nations, the United States, and all of Europe, and demand recognition of Croatia and Slovenia and their Nazi past. Well, that is certainly very stirring to a lot of people, and it should be. It should be. But there's also something else going on that should concern people even more, perhaps. Unnoticed by most of the world, in early December 1991, a very dangerous event occurred. The Constitution of the European Community was amended at the December 3, 1991 Maastricht Conference to include a ban on Sunday working. In an article entitled Never on a Sunday, The Economist magazine stated October 19, 1991, this. Now the European community is pretending to be God. It is about to decree that the European community, that is the EC, citizens must take Sundays off. The culprit is Germany. Yes, the culprit is Germany. That decree is far more serious than most people realize. Far more serious. In the same October 19 edition, another article on the same subject said, nobody could work on Sundays unless employers and unions agreed otherwise. The Germans, spurred by their own churches and trade unions, demanded the Sunday clause. 2 months later, their demands were met, and the ban on Sunday work is now law, if you can believe that. Your Bible says that is a frightening event, and you need to know why. The Bible talks about a mark of the beast that will be enforced on the nations of Israel in the near future. You need to know what that mark is. Those who refuse the mark will be destroyed, according to Revelation 13, verses 11 through 18. Discussing the beast power, Revelation 18, 13 talks about souls of men as merchandise in a great captivity. It's talking about a great persecuting religious power. People will go along with a state religion or they're going to die. And Mr. Herbert Armstrong preached about an impending religious persecution for many years. In fact, about 50 years. And we continue in that tradition. The Germans are already wielding enormous amounts of power. They can get almost anything they want in the EC or the European community. England will undoubtedly be leaving the EC soon. They opposed Germany and France on the Sunday law, and Britain was exempted from it, although the other 11 European community nations implemented the regulation on their own about not working on Sunday. The Nazi movement in World War II was called the Third Reich. The meaning of the German word Reich is like a bridge to Himmelreich, which is the heavenly kingdom. To call the Reich holy is almost like being repetitive. Many Germans believe the Jews failed and that Germany has the right to implement their own form of Christianity on themselves and, of course, the world. Some of them believed that is what God has called them to do, and anyone who opposes them is, well, likened to the Antichrist. Let's look at a prophecy which is yet to be fulfilled and shows that all of these events are leading to the crisis at the end of this age. Daniel 11 in verse 40 reads, "And at the time of the end shall the king of the south," that's going to be a Middle Eastern power, "push at him, and the king of the north," a nation in Europe, "shall come against him like a whirlwind with chariots and with horsemen and with many ships, and he shall enter into the countries and shall overflow and pass over." The modern Assyrians or Germans are going to get control of the Middle East, so says your Bible. Verse 41 says, "He," or the king of the north, "shall enter also into the glorious land," that's Jerusalem and the promised land, "and many countries shall be overthrown, but these shall escape out of his hand, even Edom and Moab and the chief of the children of Ammon," probably where God's chosen and faithful people will be protected in a place of safety. The events in the Middle East are going to lead into seriously escalating problems. They are going to be the trigger for World War III. The Bible says so. The king of the north is almost in place for this global tragedy. The king of the south is virtually there as well, and they have the oil. They're just not fully aware, that is, the king of the south is just not fully aware yet of how much power that oil gives them over Europe, which has virtually no oil. Now, if you don't have oil, then of course you can't run your industry and your military machine, and I think most anybody understands that. Germany knows that a lack of oil is their main weakness. They know they must have oil, and so they are waiting for an opportunity to get more control in the Middle East. They have planned this for years. Germany knows they'll be paralyzed without oil. The need for oil was the trigger that caused Japan to attack Pearl Harbor and start World War II in the Pacific. That same trigger, oil, is probably going to be the main reason for the clash between the king of the north and the king of the south in the end time. That's what Daniel 11 is talking about. But the Assyrians are going to be humbled. God is going to punish Assyria or Germany just like he will Israel and his own church in this end time. All of these end time prophecies show the same end result for Germany. It's going to be destruction unless they repent of their evil as well as Israel. Germany's terrible fate is shown in Isaiah 13, verses 17 through 19. "Behold, I will stir up the Medes against them, which shall not regard silver, and as for gold, they shall not delight in it. Their bows also shall dash the young men to pieces, and they shall have no pity on the fruit of the womb, and their eyes shall not spare children." A brutal military machine. "And Babylon, the glory of kingdoms, the beauty of the Chaldees' excellency, shall be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah." God will crush the German war machine by sending the Russian and Chinese hordes against them. In Isaiah 10, verses 12 and 13, God says, "Wherefore it shall come to pass that when the Lord has performed his whole work upon Mount Zion and on Jerusalem, I will punish the fruit of the stout heart of the king of Assyria and the glory of his high looks. For he says, by the strength of my hand I have done it, and by my wisdom." The ego of the Germans will lead them to their own destruction, so says God. In Nahum 3, verses 18 and 19, God says, "Your shepherds slumber, O king of Assyria. Your nobles shall dwell in the dust. Your people is scattered upon the mountains, and no man gathers them. There is no healing of your bruise. Your wound is grievous, and all that hear the bruit or the report of you shall clap the hands over you. For upon whom has not your wickedness passed continually?" History proves that the wickedness of the German military machine has passed on the world continually. They are an exceptionally talented people who are going to be a very great people in God's future world. Once God helps them get all that talent channeled in the right direction, they will serve God with great zeal. Daniel 8 and verse 25 gives us the final outcome of the European beast power at the time of the glorious return of Jesus Christ. And he, the beast power, shall also stand up against the prince of princes, but he shall be broken without hand. Jesus Christ is going to break them without physical hands, a supernatural intervention by the great God. This arrogant beast power is going to fight against Jesus Christ and will be crushed and destroyed. The good news is that Jesus Christ is about ready to return to this earth in all power and all glory. He is going to smash that European combine that is rising up before our eyes in great strength right now in Europe. But before it is destroyed, it must become much more powerful, and I mean much, much more powerful. But thankfully, there is good news. Revelation 17 and verse 14. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is Lord of lords and the King of kings, and they are with him are called and chosen and faithful. The people of God who are faithful to what God has taught his church, including the understanding of prophecy, will be with Christ when he returns in great power and glory. In the end, God restores peace to mankind. Let's look at Zechariah 10 and verse 6 and verses 10 and 11. I will strengthen the house of Judah, and I will save the house of Joseph, and I will bring them again to place them, for I have mercy upon them. And they shall be as though I had not cast them off, for I am the Lord their God, and will hear them. I will bring them again also out of the land of Egypt, and gather them out of Assyria or Germany, and the pride of Assyria shall be brought down. God is going to bring the Germans down after Germany has brought down the whole world. But then God raises it all back up again, His way with His government and His law and His righteousness. All will be to the glory of God the Father. What can we do? What can you and I do? It's obvious that Satan is going to take advantage of all the hatred smoldering in Europe against the United States and Britain. He's going to stir all that hatred into a nuclear holocaust, so says your Bible. A flaming fire that we can hardly even imagine. We need to get ourselves prepared for it. God is warning us so that we can prepare ourselves and not have to experience this if we'll only repent and turn to our great God. Zephaniah 2, verses 1 through 3 reads, Gather yourselves together, yea, gather together, O nation not desired. Before the decree bring forth, before the day pass as a chaff, before the fierce anger of the Eternal come upon you, before the day of the Lord's anger come upon you, seek you the Lord, all you meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment. Seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be you shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. God is saying that if His people are loyal to what we have learned from Him, we can be hidden from the horrors that are soon to come upon this earth. If we collectively won't hear, God says He will protect you individually. What is the key to being protected? We must seek God before the tribulation strikes. That means now. That is the formula leading to escape. Seeking God now, today, while there is still time. Isaiah 55, verses 6 and 7. Seek ye the Eternal while he may be found. Call you upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Eternal, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, and he will abundantly pardon. Of course, God will abundantly pardon if we'll only repent. We have a great job to do, And maybe we're just one in a city or one in a state or one in a country. But God has called us to do the most wonderful, exciting, thrilling job there ever could be. And yet at the same time, because of the message of grief and destruction which we must deliver, this will be one of the most painful prophecies and works that any of God's people have ever had to do. But right on the heels of this difficult work, we know that Jesus Christ is coming to restore His Father's government to this earth. That is the gloriously and wonderfully good news. When we look at Bible history, we see that when times were rough, there were only a few of God's true ministers and only a few of God's true people to do the job. Only a precious few showed unflinching loyalty to the Father and Jesus Christ, but they courageously did what God wanted done, even though it cost most of them their lives. They did the work of God. God did a great work through them. And today He is doing a great work through His Philadelphia church. God has promised He will raise His faithful people up to meet Jesus Christ in the air when He returns. That's what we must remember, that God has called us to the tremendous honor and reward of completing this great task of warning a sinning church and this godless world that the Germans are indeed back. The Germans are back and in great power and are going to do some devastating things on the world scene once again. We're going to see the dark side of the Germans one more time, and then Jesus Christ is going to return to this earth and rule it and give it the abundance and the peace and the joy that we all seek and desire. But that won't happen until there's great suffering first if we fail to repent just by hearing the words of God and don't wait until the great tribulation. I'd like to show you some free literature that we have that we would like to send to you. It costs you nothing. All of our literature is free. All of it is absolutely free. This is the July 1992 issue of the Philadelphia Trumpet, and we had an article in there on Germany and prophecy. Germany and prophecy. And we will give you a reprint of that article. We'd like you to have it. You need to understand what's happening in Europe and in Germany today. Believe your Bible when it says much is there about Germany and prophecy. Much is included in your Bible about the Germans and what is happening and what is going to happen one more time in Germany before Jesus Christ returns to this earth to rule it the way the Bible says throughout. Also, this is the May 1992 Philadelphia Trumpet. That was an article we had about the Holy Roman Empire. What is this ugly, menacing beast with seven heads and a woman riding on top of it, talked about in Revelation 13 and Revelation 7 and in the book of Daniel and many of the prophecies of your Bible? What does that mean? You need to understand about this Holy Roman Empire. And we'd like to give you a reprint article on that because it ties in with Germany and prophecy, and it too will cost you nothing. Also, we'd like to mention to you about our magazine, The Philadelphia Trumpet. It will be sent to you free every month. It costs you nothing. And this issue in May is entitled Killing in the Name of God. We see a lot of people being killed in the name of God, and it's becoming an epidemic today. What does that mean? Well, write for this free literature. We'll send it to you, and it won't cost you a thing. Until next week, this is Gerald Fleury. Goodbye, friends.